Good morning, good morning. So good to see all of your faces. Yeah, I love what God's doing in this room right now. All the fellowship, it's pretty cool. Thank you. All right, guys. So I know that we're a small crowd this morning, but we're a mighty one.
Amen.
Yeah, right? There's nothing that our God cannot do in and through us, right? And so this time of worship, even though we're small, and it might be slightly uncomfortable, I would love for all of us to come together and shake the heavens, shake this building, just by worshiping like never before. Like, I want us, in this time when we're, before the Lord and giving him the things that we feel led to lay down, there's this tenacity that's rising in me that says, like, God, like, there's nothing you can't do. And he just continues to prove it. And so, but there's something to be said about, sometimes it's easy to sit in what feels good. And it might be contrary to the word. But today, I want us to stand up and do, even though we're hurting, even though our bodies are in pain, even though our hearts maybe aren't right or our minds are thinking of other things that maybe aren't settled. And I want us to just lay it at his feet. Just give it to him wholeheartedly. And how David was, what's that word? Undignified, yes. Like, we're going to get outside of ourselves and we're going to do things that we didn't even know we could still do, right? We're going to shake this building and we're going to shake the heavens and allow for the angels and the hosts to just come alongside us and roar with us and make those strongholds fall, have the enemy just scatter in fear because he knows he's in trouble, right? Let's remind him that he can't hold us down. He can't have our peace, our happiness, our joy. Heck no. That belongs to us. It's ours, right? That's right. Amen. So without further ado, let's just give this time to the Lord and have a good time doing it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Never gonna let me down. Oh, Father in heaven, we declare your goodness, and you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let. You're never gonna. Come on, church, you believe this today.
Gonna let.
give it up for Jesus.
You're never gonna let me down. Never have, why would you start now? Yeah, you've been faithful, you're always faithful. Yes, you are always faithful. We believe in a good, good Father. Yeah, ooh. Yeah, we believe in a good, good Father.
Jesus in us. We are his temple. We are his house.
So when we're singing about this being a house of miracles, remember, you are a house of miracles when you are a child of God. So the healing that you need, the comfort and the strength that you need, this comes from Christ in us. Christ in you. You are the house. You can have the miracle. You don't have to be in the house. You can ask for the miracle in your house.
This is a house of worship, and this is a place of praise, where every demon trembles, where we proclaim your name. This is a house, and this is a house of healing. Our hearts are full of faith. You have our full attention. You have the final say.
Come on, church, sing it out. Come alive.
We come alive. Name of Jesus, come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Sing it again, come alive.
We sing, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Resurrection power. Oh, your blood runs through our veins. Your kingdom triumphs over even the coldest grave. We sing, come alive. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Sing it again, come alive.
We sing, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. And we bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're
eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe your word. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Yes, it is. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Okay, so to go along with this word, just remember in Ezekiel 37, the Lord took Ezekiel to a valley of dry bones. Now, how weird would that be for our lives today? And God told Ezekiel to speak to those dry bones. He told Ezekiel to speak life out of his mouth to the dry bones. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story. And what I love about this song is how good God is about transitioning himself. And what I mean by that is we're getting ready to have church, people. Okay, so as my husband knows, and maybe a few of you know, I am awake a lot in the middle of the night. I think that the Lord has allowed my physical circumstance to help me be alert so that I can receive spiritual issues in the middle of the night. So I'm going to tell you right now, there's particularly one person the Lord gave me a word for last night. And I asked him, God, can you please make sure they're going to be in church? Because it would be really helpful if I could give it to them in person. Because that's just the way I move and I work. And I have four different words this morning. I'm going to tell you that. That's how powerful the Lord's been moving overnight. On your behalf, I might add that every single person the Lord has given me a word for is standing in this very room this morning. And I'm like, Lord, I just need a sign. I just need to hear from you. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Amen. Many years ago, just after my husband and I became associate pastors, I had found out that there was a particular woman within this town that was a pastor's wife, that out of her very hurt, she had spoken some things over my life that weren't true and were very painful for me to learn. And in her pain, she told a couple other pastors' wives this very thing that she had to say. And both of these pastors' wives came to me and told me what had been told to them regarding me. I was in so much pain. It hurt me so bad because it wasn't life. She wasn't speaking life over me. She was speaking death. And it was causing me to withdraw within myself to say, you know, Lord, why am I even doing this? You know, this is ridiculous. And so God actually, in his loving kindness, for several years, removed her from Yakima, took her to another place to live. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to worry about that. Like, she's not here. She's not going to get in the middle of my road. So I'm okay with that. You know, don't got to do anything about it. Well, unbeknownst to me and unbeknownst to even them, God had plans to bring them back to Yakima. And not only that, but they, this family, this couple, was actually connected to our senior pastors. And they were getting ready to have a big prophetic speaker come to our church. And he had invited their church. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Not only do I have to bypass her in the middle of Yakima, but now what am I going to do? She's coming to my church. And Jesus said, would you get it over and done with? You know what you're supposed to do. So I called. I asked for an appointment. Could we meet? I took my husband because I needed protection so bad. And I, in my silliness, didn't think the Lord would protect me enough. I needed human skin, you know. And I asked her to bring her husband. And so we actually had breakfast. Well, I didn't eat because I was so upset I couldn't even take a bite. everybody else just chomped down their breakfast like it was the last meal, like, you know. And so I began to share with her. And I told her, this is not about you. Plain and simple. It's about me. It's about my hurt, my pain, my bitterness, what I've held within myself for not just a few days or a few months or a few years, but for a long time. I heard that you said this about me. I don't even care if you admit that you did or didn't. It doesn't matter to me. This is about me asking you, will you forgive me for my bitterness? Will you forgive me? Because tomorrow night, when both our churches get together, my husband and I are going to be seated on one side. You and your husband are going to be seated on another. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to come billowing off that stage in worship and in words and in love. I do not want it to stop on the front row and not have the freedom to move all the way through, that I would be a hindrance to somebody else. Now, let me just tell you, the next night, as worship is happening, because she said yes, and then she asked for forgiveness because she didn't remember, but I truly let it go. I truly, with everything, let it go. The next night, he came down off the stage, the prophetic guy, the prophet, whatever you want to call him, and he walked down this aisle, and about halfway down, he had a word for Bob Cousart. We all know Bob, right? Long beard guy. And he gave Bob a word. And he came back up. And he's praying. And he comes over to this couple. That couple. The couple. And he had a prophetic word for them. And then he came across and crossed this aisle. And he came to me and my husband and had a prophetic word for us. And then to our daughter, who had not been coming to church, I might add. She came that night. She was sitting right behind us. And her life was forever changed by the prophetic word God gave her. But what if I had not been obedient? What if I didn't do that? I honestly can tell you, I'm not sure I'd be standing here. I'm not sure we'd be the pastors of this church. I'm not sure today God would be moving like he's moving. So, baby, can we get a couple chairs brought up here? Just sitting, you know, right here. I'm going to first ask our dear, sweet Mr. Patrick to come sit in one of these chairs, please. All right, y'all, I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to pray. Sweetie, join me here, please. As long as there's breath, God still has a work for you. You have not hit a stop sign that in any way disqualifies you for the move of the Holy Spirit and the power of God to minister. Do not take this word and shelf it. God has it planned for you right now. He has something for you right now. Something for you to do right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I remind you, as long as there's breath, God is not done. Hallelujah. We cement that, God, by laying on hands. Next person, Lil, would you come forward? You can stand. Oh, not Lil. Sorry, Esther. Sorry, wrong sister. Sister nonetheless. Sorry, Lil. You can stand. You can sit. Whatever you want to do. In your quietness, you believe that you are a spare, an extra. But God comes today to say to you, sister, I have called you out of the quietness to complete the work that only you can do. You are not a spare to me. You are not an extra. You are not a leftover. You have not been looked over. You are everything I need. Nancy, will you come and help me? I need you. You are not an extra. Hear this today. You are not an extra. Would you all just put your hands out toward Esther, please? Baby, would you pray for her?
Yes. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Esther, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you have declared right now, Lord, that she is not a leftover. She's not an extra. She's not a spare, Lord, but that she's special, that she's set apart for a work. Yes. She's set apart for this time. This time, Lord.
Yes,
Lord, we just release now her into this work. We release her, Lord, into what you have her to do. We just give you, Lord, all the ability to do everything that you could think or imagine in her life, Lord. We just release, Lord, your will over her life. We agree with your will for her life, and we just thank you for her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Eric, can we sing that again? Come alive.
So come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. And we bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus.
If anybody needs to be obedient and come out, come down to the front, please, please be obedient. I can't tell you how powerful obedience is. I can't tell you how strong obedience is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
See, I still believe.
I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working. All things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working. All things for good. Yeah, I still believe. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. Believe you're working. All things are good. Who you are, I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working. All things are good.
Come alive.
You come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. A house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Yeah. This is your house.
Thank you. receive it, we believe it. Hey, we receive it, we receive it. Cause we believe it, we believe it. We receive it, we receive it. Cause we believe it, we believe it. Yeah, we receive it, we receive it.
Come up. Thank you.
Thank you.
As his vessels, we are not meant to just contain. He will pour out into us as his vessel, and he will pour us out to overflowing, because we are meant to overflow to those around us. And to contain means to hold and not share. And God wants us to share. So he pours us out with overflowing.
Shout out!
can I contain it? How can I contain this love?
Want to come up? Come on, Deb.
Okay, so while we were praying for somebody, I think it was my husband, I was getting just hit with his love so hard that I couldn't believe it. And we all know this. Most of us know that when we're infused with the Holy Spirit and he lives within us, that's what we live for. And the love that he has for us is not just for us, it's for others. And as it was pouring on me, it was like, sounds kind of gross, but it was almost regurgitating back out of me. And at this point, it was for Joanne. But he wants us to know that that love is not just, you know, for Debbie or Joanne or for Patrick or for Gabe. It's for others that don't know. And that's what we're about. And so whenever he wants you to speak to someone, do it on the spot. Don't wait. Don't wait. And it doesn't have to be weird. It's just, you know, God loves you. You know, so anyway, so that... You got to learn that through me, whatever.
Amen. Okay, so in that, you all just quietly, please, let's keep this. Just visit with one another in a quiet way, please. And we're going to reconvene in about 5 minutes, and we'll move on.
Good morning. What a powerful time of worship, amen? Amen. Well, how cool that we get to jump into another powerful thing of declarations. Woo-hoo! Who all likes the declarations? You guys like that? I do, because it gives us an opportunity to just make declarations and carry the authority of the Lord that he's given us, right? And to begin to speak out in faith these things that we believe that we want to have happen if they aren't already happening, right? And that we're partnering with kingdom. We're partnering with what God is doing. And so without further ado, if you guys will stand with me, we'll have the prayer of the house, yeah? Vision of the house. All right. I think we don't. Do you have a... Okay. Hi, guys. Just kidding. Is it this side better? I don't know. I'm just kidding. Oh, thanks. No, it's good. It'll get up there just real soon. But just get in that place, you know, just get ready, like allow your spirit to become lions. There's lions in every one of you. When we're speaking this out, I don't want timidity. Nah. I mean, there's a time and a place for it. I want authority. I want you guys to grab hold of these things and own them and speak them out with tenacity and with authority and like you really believe it and that you can see it happening before you. All right. So you guys got to be louder than me, even though I'm on the mic. Can you guys do that? Can you guys be louder than me in the mic? That's my challenge to you. I want to hear you more than I hear me. Can you guys do that? All right. All right. Oh, it's a city one. Okay, well, we're going to declare over our city then in Jesus' name. Here we go. One, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare... that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all their needs met. And I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Woo! Yeah. Do you guys understand that? Like when you guys speak those things out, you're allowing strongholds to be torn down. You're allowing for breakthrough to happen in our city, for small businesses, for people that you may or may not know. Like you guys get to take ownership over where you live and help bring in what God's plan is. You guys get to co-labor with him. What an amazing gift that we get, right? To be able to do that. So thank you, Jesus. Oh, look, there's a heart in the house declaration. You want to do it?
Yeah, sure.
All right, guys, let's do it. One more. You guys got it in you, right? Stand on up. Get that voice in your diaphragm. Here we go. Be louder than me. Yeah? All right. Here we go. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and He is awakening our church, that we will live in a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind, and we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Amen. Woo. Yeah, amen. Hey, I love it. Why not, right? Why not pray for our city and for our church, right? All right. So, because, you know, we could come and do the same old same, or we could switch it up and follow what Holy Spirit is doing. I don't think it's by accident that that was up there. So thanks for joining me in that, guys. All right. 21 days waiting for God is our fast that we've been doing. Started last Monday, and we're going through the 30th of this month. What's that? We're day seven. Wow. You guys, that's amazing. Huh? Did you guys know that? Oh my gosh. Why did that just leave my head? Jericho's walls fell after 7 days. So I imagine that things are falling off on your guys' lives right now. And even if you don't see it in the natural, I know that in supernatural, when we're praying and we're seeking out and we're going after these things with authority, it's impossible for something to not be happening. So just believe in everything. Like, continue to press in, especially on those hard days when you're really feeling it. Press in even harder and begin to thank Him for the things that you do see and the things that you want to see, and carry that authority like it's already happening in Jesus' name. All right, because there's nothing that we can't do apart from the Lord, right? And when we're with Him and we're seeking Him out, how much more fun does He get to have with us, right, and show off? Amen. So if you're not already part of it, then you want to jump in. It's never too late. And if you are interested, we do have a text stream going that every day there's just a little bit of encouragement from the people who are in the fast. And so if you need that encouragement, it's not too late to jump into that either. We'd love to have you and love to welcome you. If you know people from other churches or in the community that are fasting at this time and they need encouragement on a daily, let them know. Texas number, and we'd love to have them be part of us and be able to encourage them in Jesus' name. Anything else? Giving and tithing. Have fun. Okay, so when we tithe, it's just such a beautiful extension of worship. You guys, our money can do so much more than the face value of it when it's given to the kingdom. And all He asks is for 10%, and that 10% can do a million things when we give it to Him with a joy-filled heart. So if that's you and you feel like you want to give, we have our box here and in the back. And just remember, like, it's such a blessing. It's an extension of worship, and He is so faithful and just to work with that money in ways that we would never, ever know that it could happen. And when you are sowing into this house, you're also sowing into the city, and you're being able to allow for God to move in ways that He can do, but He chooses to partner with us, right? And so, amen? Amen. Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Praise the Lord. Is everyone doing good today? Moving through the new year, 2023. That just sounds so crazy, 2023. I was saved back in the 80s, and everybody thought that back then, not everybody, a lot of people though, that you didn't need to do retirement, you didn't need to do anything to prepare for the years that I'm in right now. And fortunately, Gay and myself did a little bit, so it just didn't make sense to not be a good steward for the future. But that all being said, it still seems, for us old Christian timers, I guess, different to be in this day and age. But you know what? We're here for such a time as this. As it says in Acts 17, that our borders have been set where we're to live, where we were to be born, and it's in God that we live, move, and have our existence, our being. And so I want to talk about that a little bit, of what that means, to live, move, and have our being in God today. And I've entitled, hang on a second here, entitled this message, come on, Vaporland. Oh, it's going up. Okay, good. Hang on a second here. Vaporland. What does that mean, Pastor? Sounds like a movie title or something, doesn't it? Probably one of those really weird ones on Netflix or something like that. They have some weird titles. And, but I was going to call it Vaporware, but that's kind of like a, it's got some bad connotations to it. But the whole idea of this communication to you is to grasp the need, the necessity to realize that life is a precious gift and that it's very short. Now, for those of you who are young, it's like, oh man, it's taking me forever to get up to like 15 or 16, you know. But I'm telling you, when you start to get my age and Mom's age and Patrick's age and others of us in here, Esther, even some middle-aged people, that you start realizing that, whoa, what happened to my life?
Yeah, it went so quick.
It went so fast. And that's because this life is just a vapor. Mm-hmm. It's just a breath. It's just a puff of wind. And in the scheme of eternity, let's put it that way. And I want us to when we leave here, to just have a little bit more of an understanding that this has been a gift that we've been given, and that we can either embrace it in God and receive from Him whatever He has for us, or we can waste it away and at the end go, what happened? Mm-hmm. And maybe even have, regrets and have disappointments and sorrows because we didn't embrace the gift of God. Mm-hmm. And this life is a gift from God. Let's look at a verse here.
James 4:14 in the New King James Version says, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away."
So this is kind of in the context of, you know, people are saying, hey, we're going to, you know, have a future and we're going to do all this, but life's a vapor. We, you know, some of us may not have tomorrow. We don't know. I mean, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. There's you know, people every day that are living today thinking that they have tomorrow. And they didn't have tomorrow. It was not in the plan, or it was not in their future. And so we need to realize that today is a gift from God, and to embrace every day with an excitement and a zeal, not just for life, but for what God has for us. Let's look at this in the Amplified.
"Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp, a vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears into thin air."
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
Here for a little while and then disappears. I mean, if you ever think of like a good way to picture a vapor is go up to your mirror and breathe on it for a second. And then back off and you'll see the steam from your breath on that mirror. And then you'll just watch it dissipate. That's a vapor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, you know, we can have fog and it can stay around. Some of us stay around a little bit longer. Maybe we're like an afternoon fog or a morning fog that will finally dissipate. Burn off, exactly. But the point being is that we are very, very, very temporal in this existence here. Now, in Christ, we're eternal. And so there's a part of us that's already living in eternity. We're already seated in heavenly places, the Bible says. We already have the kingdom of God in us. We already have the Holy Spirit, which is God Himself in us. So there's a part of us that's already eternal. But this tent, as Paul called it, and we'll look further at that verse, mm-hmm. is temporary. You know, it gets tattered and torn and worn down and, you know, all kinds of things. Gets holes in it, you know.
It's
blows
very,
over in the wind sometimes. Anybody? Hey, amen, Pastor.
It's very cruel to us.
Right. Can be very cruel to us. Here's another verse. Psalm 103, 15 through 17. New Living Translation. Do you have it?
Oh, yes, I do. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children.
I love that end, because it's really the contrast to our temporal existence here in these earthen vessels. That, you know, we're like wildflowers. We bloom and we die. The wind blows us and we're gone. And then this is the sad part. And as though we had never been here. You know, there are people who's made it in the history books and stuff, and every time you read about them, you know, you kind of, oh, and there's probably people that we all know that are part of history. But for the majority of people, it's as if we just come and go. Yeah. And hopefully our life can make a difference while we're here, yeah, in such a way that the kingdom of God is influenced and we're remembered. Yeah. You realize that? People, you know, that you work with may forget who you are, but if you've been extending the kingdom of God by living in Christ, you'll be remembered where it really counts. I don't know if we'd be part of a hall of fame or anything like that, but we will be remembered because God sees everything that we do.
Right.
Amen. And I love this part, but the love of the Lord remains forever. This is that eternity we're talking about for those who fear him, those who revere him, respect him, honor him. That's the type of fear that is. That's not like, he's going to hurt me. No, it's a fear and it's a reverence and an awe of the majesty of God. That's the kind of fear that's being spoken of there. And his salvation extends to the children's children, which we have experienced. Another verse. Psalm 39, 4 through 5.
New Living Translation. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you at best. Each of us is but a breath. Interlude.
Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. This is a good prayer. Lord, keep me in remembrance, keep in my memory, keep in my heart the idea that my life is short on this earth. That it's not just, you know, I'm just going to kick back. And like it says that there was a rich man and he had all these treasures and had all this wealth. And he says, I'm going to build storehouses. I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm going to store it up for till I get old. And I'm going to just, you know, just be ready for my later years. And then Jesus says in the parable, you fool, this life, your wife, life, this day, your life is required of you. Mm-hmm. That was his last day. But he was saying, I'm going to store up all this stuff, all these treasures. Keep in mind that your life is brief. Mm-hmm. It's but for a moment. It's a breath. So our days are numbered. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. You know, that seems more than a breath, but I mean, it's not very much. Everybody's saying, this is very discouraging, Pastor Mike.
What I love about that first statement is, Lord, remind me. It's like, it's almost like I give you permission to remind me when I need reminding.
Mm-hmm.
To remind me how brief my time on earth is.
Right.
Because sometimes we don't even want to look at that. We don't want to see that. We don't want to hear that. We bypass over those scriptures that say these very things, vapor, you know, remind me, all of those things. But if we actually take this to heart and place this within us and say, Lord, you have my complete permission to remind me. That is so powerful. That actually gives power to Holy Spirit to remind you,
exactly,
hey, today is all you have. You may not have tomorrow. So what are you going to do with today? What is, you know, how we are with our kids. We like to brag on their accomplishments and how great they are and, you know, oh, my child drew this, or, you know, my son did that, or whatever. And it's like, what is God going to brag on you about? I mean, think about that. If you have reminded him or said to him, you have my permission to remind me, you keep it in perspective, but then you do what God has for you to do. You do what he wants for you to do and not fulfill the lust of the flesh by doing what you want to do.
Amen. It's good. Here's verse 5 again in the ERV. This is the easy read version.
You gave me only a short life. Compared to you, my life is nothing. The life of every human is like a cloud that quickly disappears. Selah.
That pretty much speaks for itself.
Yep.
Here's Ecclesiastes 3:11.
Yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end.
This is letting us know that this idea of eternity is in our heart. And if we can let that truth that God has planted in us, you know, that we are, that this time here is short, but that we have an eternity waiting for us. Now, I know eternity is hard for any of us to comprehend. I mean, it's pretty much impossible because all we have is finite moments. But in God, it's never ending. And so what you need to do is connect with the truth that's already in you by the Holy Spirit, that you are eternal, that you have an eternal being that's waiting to experience the afterlife, experience what's after this, that you're already, you know, Jesus told Martha, you know, something radical and crazy, and I'll use it every now and at funerals because it is so radical and crazy, but he says, those who believe in me will never die. Well, I've seen a lot of people die. But according to Jesus, they haven't died. They're not dead. They are elevated. You know, Paul called them asleep. You know, they're as far as we're concerned, they're gone, but they're more real and tangible and an entity than they ever were when they were here in this temporal existence. You have something
that
there?
Word planted just reminds me of how God tends to us, T-E-N-D-S, tends to us like a garden. I said this last week or a couple weeks ago. He has planted. He has set in soil, set into an area that is unfamiliar to the roots of that plant, really. He has set that plant down. He has set us down. And he doesn't just leave us there. He doesn't just say, okay, you're on your own. Whatever you do, however you grow, it's up to you. Thank goodness he doesn't ever leave us.
Right.
Or forsake us. When he plants us, like he's planted eternity into us, he tends to that planting. He nurtures it. He waters it. He feeds it. It reminds me of a plant that we have over at the house, and my mom passed away
a
little over 5 years ago, and that poor thing has gone through it. There's been times that it's flourished and bloomed, and right now it has
got three
right? Yeah. Leaves on it.
I'm
three.
Like, is it going to make it? It?
I have seen it that way many times, but my mom, when she was alive, she would sit down at our little kitchen nook, and she had that plant on her beside her on the table, and she would pull it over to her, and she would say, now listen, little plant, if you don't start growing, I'm going to kick you right out of this house. I need you to grow. I want you to grow. I'm talking to you. I'm sending love to you. You need to grow. Now, that sounds a little bit silly, but isn't that how God does with us, though, when it's saying he planted eternity in us? That's exactly what he does. Just remember that one plant. Remember that my mom talked to that plant, and let God speak to your heart.
Amen.
Let him speak to who you are as his child, and let him tend to you, tend to the eternity in you.
Amen. That's good. Here's another couple of verses.
In the ESV and the NIV, yep. It's Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom.
Go ahead and read the next one.
Teach us to realize how short our lives are. Then our hearts will become wise.
This is that planting, that nurturing that you were just talking about. Asking, requesting God, as the psalmist is, I believe this might have been David. Teach me, Lord, to realize how short my life is. And then, why is this happening? Why do you ask this? So that you can be living a life of wisdom, a heart of wisdom, instead of going out and doing foolish things. You know, if you don't think that there's any kind of eternal consequence, or that God's not watching, or that there is a God, you can have a tendency to do things that are very evil, or that are very destructive in your life, or destructive in others' lives. But keeping in mind eternity, keeping in mind your temporalness, let's put it that way. I don't know if that's a word.
Temporal.
Keeps you in a heart of wisdom, keeps you in a place of humility, keeps you in a place of need for God and need for His nurturing in your life. Amen?
Amen.
All right, here's another verse. Got a lot of verses today.
Ephesians 5, 15 through 16, New King James Version. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil.
And then Colossians 4, 5.
Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity.
This is telling us to, the time that we have, use it for what would be a useful purpose. Something that would be, I like to call it, a kingdom purpose. Mm-hmm. Now, some may say, well, you know, I'm just going to sit here with my kids, you know, while they're playing, you know, and just spend time with them. That's a kingdom purpose. Nurturing and loving your kids, spending time with somebody over a meal at dinner and just being friends with them, that's a kingdom purpose. It doesn't have to be go out and, you know, raise the dead. Although that's a kingdom purpose. But being in others' lives, interacting with people, having relationships and friendships and nurturing those, having community, as Eric likes to say, is kingdom. I mean, it's way up there. Spending time with people. Being off by yourself, just being a hermit, not wanting anybody else to ever talk to you, that's not very kingdom. Now, can you have, like, you know, I guess maybe, you know, just a time with the Lord? Absolutely. But we are meant to be beings around each other. You know, Jesus made a point of saying, if you do it to the least of these, my brethren, do what? Well, whatever you want to say, you know, love on them, you know, give a prophet a cup of water. You're doing it to Jesus.
This second scripture, it kind of reminds me, because it says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. We go on a trip. We go, like, you know, like when we went on the sabbatical. And I can't tell you how many people we minister to in that month's time. Like, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. We minister to a lot of people. Because we recognize that we have to make the most of every opportunity. And we recognize that someone's very life could be changed by the encouragement we speak. I'm remembering a time that we went to Portland just for a little bit, and maybe a day or two, I can't remember. We were sitting in the hot tub, and we noticed this one guy there with his child. And both of us are like, there's something about that guy. There's just something about that man. And we're both sitting in there, and we're just, you know, we're asking the Lord, you know, if there's opportunity, you know, if he's like, if Gay thinks it, or I'm back, if Mike thinks it, you know, like, because we're really careful with the time that we have away from our church, because we do so much here and so much for the Lord, that careful with making sure he gets a respite, you know, but he is the same with me. And so, but we both, this guy was like burning in our hearts. Well, the next morning we were at breakfast, and Mike's like, you know, if we see, because we talked about him the night before, if we see that guy, well, sure enough, at breakfast we see that man. We don't know him from anybody. He's to us, it says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. To us, he's an outsider because we don't know him. We don't know who he is. We don't know his name. We only know he's a dad to a toddler kid. That's all we know. And so finally Mike said, oh, there he is. Like he was almost walking out, wasn't he?
Was he leaving? Yeah, he was getting ready to leave.
He was getting ready to leave. And Mike like really quickly ran over and he goes, excuse me, you know, I hate to interrupt you, but, and we started talking. And do you remember anything about that time? I mean,
it was basically just telling him that the Lord had put him on our hearts and that God does that for a reason. It means that God is reaching out to him. I can't remember if he was a Christian or any of that, but that God's reaching out to him through us, that he's wanting to let him know. And I said that you're loved, mm-hmm. that no matter what situation you're in, you're loved, and he's going to walk through this with you.
He was so appreciative. He received it so much. Did he let us pray for him?
I can't remember.
I think he let us pray over him, actually. And we prayed for him to the point he gave Mike his phone number. And so I'm going to tell you, those things will happen if you look for them. That kind of stuff will happen all the time. And to a lot of the people that stood in this altar, you have a choice. I said that to almost everybody up here. You have a choice. You get to decide which way you're going to go with the word that God is speaking over your life today, right now. So what are you going to do with today, right now? What are you going to do with it? And so we make the most of every opportunity. We don't care if we're on vacation or on a little two-day getaway or whatever. We know that God has given us an opportunity to change somebody else's life. And if they don't receive it, it's not like they're going to pull a gun on you and shoot you. Well, they may, but I doubt it because it's not happened to us yet. But I'm just saying that most people are very receptive to receiving love. They're very receptive to it.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't have to make it even a super huge spiritual thing. It can be when you go to a restaurant. Mm-hmm. You're just being kind to your waitress. You're just showing the love of God to those around you, treating them nicely, you know, honoring them. That's huge.
Oh, yeah.
That's huge.
I have a story about that just really quickly. We only have one more scripture. We're doing really good. Okay. So... I went down to Dallas. Dee Dee and her sister Alicia flew me down to Dallas to spend time with them and go to a women's conference and just be with Dee Dee because she lost her husband a year ago, and she's my dear, very dear friend, and she flew me to her because she was missing me and she wanted to be with me. So anyway, so I flew down there, and I was so blessed the very first night that we, because I flew all day, so I didn't do it that night. But the next night, we went out to dinner. And I'm sitting in, Dee Dee sitting out, and Alicia sitting across from us. And the gal comes up, and she's taking our drink order. And then she comes up, and she's taking our food order. And then she comes up, and she's delivering our food. And before we even get a chance to do anything, Alicia just grabs her arm like this. She said, we're getting ready to pray for our food. And I'm just wondering, is there anything that we can pray for you about? And Dee Dee looked at me. My friend Dee Dee looked at me and she said, she does that every time. Okay, wait just a minute. She does that every time? Oh, man, was I ever convicted. Because it's like, I got to get my gumption up before I ask anybody, can I pray for you? But Alicia just does it like air. She's like, we're getting ready to just pray over our food. And you know, since we're in prayer, could we pray for you about something? And I'm not kidding you, that person opened up. She goes, would you pray for my mom? She's really sick. We don't know what's going on with her. And I mean, that woman just like, and Alicia said, well, do you mind if we pray right now for her? Would you like to join us? And she, sure, I'll join you. Like, you guys, I'm not kidding. What about the person sitting in the next table? What did that do to their heart when they saw four ladies praying and a waitress is standing and tears are pouring and we're praying over her mama? What did that do for the person in the table behind us or across? What's your life going to speak to someone else? And you don't even have to talk to them. You don't have to say a word. Can I just say one thing? Just a personal thing to Lil. Lil, your life speaks so deeply to me. When you come out of your seat and you come up here to worship the Lord, your life speaks to me, and you sometimes don't ever say a word to me. Jesus, it doesn't go unnoticed by him. He sees your obedience and your heart of worship for him, and he is going to reward others too outwardly. He's going to reward that. So I bless you in the name of Jesus. You keep doing what you're doing, girl. You're doing it right. You're doing it right.
Amen. One final verse. This is the one about the tent. Yeah. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed or dissolved, we have from God a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And this is to tell us that even though, as I'm saying, our life is short, it's just a vapor, just a puff of wind, that we're not here very long, that doesn't matter, because this existence will pale in comparison to what God has for us.
Yeah.
It says that, I'm trying to get it just right here. Let me see if I can get it. I am convinced that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that would be revealed in us. So even in our suffering of this, you know, this tent, when it's getting tears in it, it's having to be, you know, re-sewn up, and all of those things that happens to tents, they get tattered, they get worn. They're just not very permanent, are they? What a great description. He was a tent maker, so he knew just how to describe this vessel that we have, that it's like a tent. But God has an eternal building for us. Now, I don't know if that means like we're going to be in a mansion, you know, and you know, but there's something eternal waiting for us. I believe it is our glorified body. I believe it's where we will finally be housed, that will not decay, will not rust, will not ache, no pains, Eric, you know, in the back when you tweak your back, you know, no wounds from surgery or any of those kind of things, you know, arthritis running through your body, none of that. Just the decay from old age, Moses, none of that is going to affect us, right? I see the gray, Moses. It's really coming in.
It's beautiful.
It's happening, isn't it? From glory to glory, though, right? I was just telling Patrick that I believe that us in our old age can be renewed like the eagles, that we don't have to decay and waste. But eventually, we're going to go from this place to a place of glory, and it's an eternal place, and it has an eternal building that God has prepared for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, does anyone have anything they want to add to that? Yeah, come on up, brother.
I got it right here.
Okay.
Go. I didn't really want to come up here.
I'm glad you did.
But something's on my heart. I think somebody needs to hear it. Because, anyway, just what he was talking about today, I heard a teaching before. We are like in the womb. And compared to eternity, this is our womb. In the womb, we don't have a lot of... And this wasn't the teaching. This is just what's been going through my head right now. In the womb, we do not have a lot of control. The mother could get hurt in a car accident. She could be doing drugs, that type of stuff. And then that's what happens to us in this life. Right now, this is the womb for eternity. And whatever you do in this time, you need to feed yourself with the word, not drugs. And you need to say hello to the neighbor. When you're in the store and you see somebody, just say hi. That's the kingdom stuff you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And we need to open up more, because what we do in this time right now, in the womb here to eternity, is going to determine how we, the changes of how we live up there, I'm sure of it. But anyway, whatever you do here matters, the little things too. So whoever that's for.
Amen. Pray for us, brother. That's good.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I lift up this church family, Father, to you. Father, I pray for a change in our hearts and our spirit, Lord, as we walk out, that we listen to that prompting and that we say hello to our neighbors and that we help the needy. And we just reach out to them, Lord. I just pray for us to act upon that and be ambassadors to the kingdom that you asked us to be, Lord. Let that be on all of us. Let us empower us with that. Let us leave with that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Okay, come on, Debbie.
Okay, so I didn't say the whole thing because I kind of forgot part of it. Anyway, forgiveness, huge.
Yeah.
Huge in Father's heart. I will have an example just because it's right on the tip of my tongue. There was a young lady that is at a particular store that I had a bad attitude about because of something that happened to someone else.
Oh,
let's put
yeah.
it that way, okay?
You took an offense, yeah.
I picked a yeah. huge offense. Uh-huh. And the Lord, it was a girl, but the Lord told me one day that I was in there, you know, of course, to get rid of it. But, you know, how do you physically do that? So then he gave me, the next time I went in, he gave me a way. And I couldn't, like, see her. Well, she happened to be doing something else in the store. And all I said was, did you get your haircut? It's really cute. This young woman, her face lit up because she was part of that offense. And the Lord showed me that she was feeling whatever weird too because she was part of that. That's all. Anyway, forgiveness is so huge. And if you don't, then when you give the love that you have in very simple ways, it's tainted.
Did you get your hair cut?
That's all I said to her. I said, did you get
your... She was doing... That was kingdom.
It was kingdom. She just like... She goes, oh, yeah. And I said... And then I, of course, said, so cute. And she said... She just kind of wasn't taken back, like, shocked. It was just like her face just was different than it was before that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Amen. The Holy Spirit was in that. Awesome. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Come on, church. Let's worship before we go home. Holy.
foundation. Oh, I will never be shaken. Christ is the firm foundation.
I just pray right now, Lord, that you would solidify, Lord, what you did in this room today, God. That we would not treat these words just like other words that we've heard, God. We would not just treat these prophetic words like other prophetic words, God. We would not just treat this moment like another Sunday, God. But we would do something, Lord, with what you did in this room. God, I pray you would activate your children today. Lord, you would activate your sons and your daughters today, God. Lord, that as they walk out and to do their life throughout this week, God, that although they may be leaving this building, they would not leave you behind. And I just pray for every home represented in this place. Blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And I just thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. And I thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in this place. And all God's people said, amen.